I'm still amazed. It's incredible the caliber of people that we can get here in our studio and all the worldly things that they've seen and done. Are still always amazed by Kathy's traffic report and have to look over the shoulder and see what she's reading off of. Because yeah. I'm sitting here watching Peter Fonda, who was just mesmerized by what Kathy was doing there.
Oh, of course.
It's incredible. I need to welcome. We have two guests
in the
studio.
You have to give the official.
I'm going to do the official welcome. We'll start with the younger gentleman who is working his way up the career ladder of Hollywood and has been in a lot of great TV shows and movies. You've seen him on 6 Feet Under, and we were talking about X-Men X3.
Yep.
The Last Stand, which he was in. He played Warren Worthington, which is Angel.
Yeah.
And is also in the new film that these guys are here to talk about, 310 to Yuma. Please welcome Ben Foster.
Yeah.
To the show. How you doing, Ben? Thanks for being here this morning. We appreciate it. And then the other guy has a lengthy list of credits here. So we'll stumble through a couple of them. Cannonball Run.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Which is a movie that we referenced.
Let's go back to Tammy the Doctor for crying out loud.
Yuli's Gold, which is
one of my all-time favorite movies.
That was the best time I had on film as an actor, and best time I've ever had.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Rider, which was recent, Wild Hogs, and of course, how can we not mention Easy Rider? Peter Fonda! Yeah! Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to Philadelphia. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. We were looking at 310 to Yuma, which isn't coming out until October, so you guys are kind of...
No, September 7th.
Oh, September 7th?
Thanks for the lead-in, so we can say that was very cool.
No, you're welcome.
I know that was not really a mistake. You just wanted to give us that lead shot.
We're professionals, yeah.
But looking at, it's a heavy-hitting cast. I mean, we have you two. We have Christian Bale, who's been on fire lately with some great films, and Russell Crowe in the movie as well.
Yeah.
Now, this is it's a remake, is it not?
Well, I'd like to say that I don't think Jim Mangold, the director who did Walk the Line, Girl Interrupted, Copland, Heavy was his first film, brilliant stuff.
Right.
I don't think he does remakes.
Okay.
I'd rather think that he read Elmore Leonard's original story and saw the possibilities of this Western. Because the original one, it didn't have this kind of character conflict and development.
It wasn't as close to the source material.
Exactly.
Right. I love the original.
It was bland in its own way.
But it was sort of a standard Western, and this one seems to, judging by what we've seen on the advance, it seems to have a lot of really raw attitude to it.
It does, indeed. And the way Jim plays with the conflicted characters involved in this otherwise typical story of the good and the bad trying to feist and deal with each other in a certain way, and the conflict in the character that Russell plays, you know, suddenly doing something kind at the end of the film.
Right. I love. What's that?
Don't give it away.
Well, just because he gives you head, man. You know.
Oh! But he cupped the balls.
No, you know what? I'm sorry. I have to say this right now because I can see all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a room full of really freaks here. But they don't know. I've got this jar with me. I bring it with me all the time. I mean, I carry it because I have to. I have to keep it real close. It's a little murky, guys, but that really is Hitler's brain. And you might ask, why is this dude, this actor, carrying Hitler's brain around? Because as soon as I'm finished with the show, I'm on to Paraguay, where I'm going to trade this for 5 slices of Lenin's brain. Now, I think I'm getting the best end of that deal.
You know, I'm beginning to think your acts, what you just described, actually transpires in the movie.
Well, you know, I was not looking over the shoulder here of great-looking traffic. I was actually wondering, does your boss let you come in, you know, wearing your lingerie outside?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, that's really cool. I mean, that blows away Madonna, totally.
See, this is the way I wanted Peter Fonda to be.
I know.
And he is.
Because it's cool for the room. Let me ask you, I love Westerns. I love really well-done Westerns, but it seems hard to do really solid Westerns. What is so elusive about it? The genre that people can't quite nail it all the time.
Well, notice you use the word seems.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is already a qualitative word.
Right.
I can answer that, but explain to me Unforgiven.
Yeah, Unforgiven is one
Dances
of the ones that work.
Wolves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these are great Westerns, and it's a tradition in America to talk about our past in this mythology of the Western. And in that mythology, we can hide ideology of today. We can hide the problems of character today.
Right.
And the same thing with a science fiction, good science fiction film can do that. But the Western is something we're used to seeing and dealing with the past in terms of bringing you into a thought of the present.
Well, explain the story, by the way, for those who are just, you know, don't give away the ending with that whole ball cupping thing.
Of course, I've let the cat out of the bag now, but Ben, you know, take it away.
This is all you. Go for it.
He's way too gracious, though, because immediately when I went outside, I said, you know, hi, Peter, and it's a pleasure to meet you. And immediately he goes, you know, I want you to meet Ben. But Ben, yeah, let's hear it from you.
Oh, heavens. I'm terrible at selling. It's Christian Bale, Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe is the leader of a wicked outlaw gang. And the character I play is Charlie Prince, which is basically his attack dog. Does most of the dirty work. He gets kidnapped. And Christian Bale is a destitute farmer who ends up kidnapping him, trying to get him on the 310 to Yuma train. And I got to go get Daddy back and going on a killing spree across the desert.
Wow. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. It's based on an Elmore Leonard book, and two things that Elmore Leonard does really well. It writes crime novels and westerns. Peter, when you read a book by Elmore Leonard, do you envision a movie coming out of it? Because he's written many, many books that have been turned into screenplays and then books.
Well, just because of that, what you just said, yeah, I look for a movie inside what he does, because he does it very well. And when he does his descriptive narratives, you can really taste what he's talking about. And that's his genius.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I read one, a Western by him, I would immediately consider doing it. My first film as a director was a Western, The Hired Hand. So I really appreciate that. But Elmore, think of that prolific writer.
Jeez, tons of stuff. Yeah. Tons of stuff. And
I've only done 78 films, but you know, think of it.
Oh, lightweight.
Yeah. I've seen 78 movies.
Ben, how old are you, by the way?
26.
26 years old. You're sitting next to a guy who's done 78 films. Comes from a prominent acting family. You're in with Oscar winners. A little bit intimidating for your age, and as you're building your way up, did you have any issues with that?
I mean, it is intimidating, but it's how do you get better at basketball? You play with people who are better than you.
Absolutely.
Wow. And people who give you head, too.
Hey, cop.
No. True. These are the perks of Hollywood.
Damn.
You didn't hear it right. He gives me.
Oh!
That's private, and that was offset, and you keep your mouth shut.
I'm going to push the cough button on that.
Peter, you'd mentioned Yuli's Gold was possibly the greatest experience you've had on film. Why was that so great?
It was such a well-written script. Victor Nunez is a remarkable filmmaker. He directed, he wrote it, he operated the camera, and he edited the film. And going to work with that kind of confidence and power behind the camera empowers you in front of the camera.
Your performance is so brilliant in that, and it's one of those ones where when the movie's on, I watch it all the time. It's just one of those. It rings so true when you're watching it. It almost seems like a documentary at some points. When you are on a movie like that, can you sense how good it's going to be while you're in it, or do you just pray to God it will be?
No, the moment I read that script, tell you the truth, I was in my cabin up in my ranch in Montana. And I was very emotional when I finished that script.
Right.
I was, in fact, there were tears in my eyes. And I looked up at the roof of the cabin, and I said, I'd like to thank the members of the Academy. I mean, it was on the page. It was literally on the page. There was nothing that wasn't there. And it was so brilliantly written, there wasn't a moment I wondered, what are we going to do? How can we, make this a little better? We couldn't. It was so well done. It was Victor's probably the top of his career, and it gave me a chance to exercise in a way that people did not expect to see me coming.
Do you dig to doing stuff like that? Because then with that fantastic movie, I watch you playing the devil in Ghost Rider, and you were having a blast, and I had a blast because you were having a blast doing it.
Well, that's it. I go to work loving what I'm going to do, and very few people get to do that. And because I'm given this chance, and these different roles, this one, the bounty hunter turned Pinkerton,
right,
in 310 to Yuma. the beekeeper in North Florida. You know, I'm an 8-year-old.
Right.
See, 8-year-olds can pretend to be anything. As Ben and I talk about, an 8-year-old can take the bullet or the arrow and fall out of trees and stuff. When you're 9, you want to be 10. When you're 10, you want to have Ian at the end of your age. But at 8, you don't care about it. So as an 8-year-old, I'm playing all those different characters, the scumbag producer, record producer from The Limey and so forth.
A great movie.
That's the 67-year-old that cashes the checks.
Peter, I have to ask this question. I mean, sometimes if we get a guest that that doesn't really want to talk and we can't figure out why they don't want to be on to promote what they have to promote, we'll ask a very stupid question just to get their reaction. But this is a great interview. I'm just interested what your reaction to this question might be. Are you afraid of robots?
Not at all. You don't have to deal with attitude. And there are no problems with robots.
Future World.
WD-40, let's go. And Future World, I get to chase
Fonda
myself.
Is a robot.
Peter Fonda is a robot?
Now you know. It's out of the bag, and, you know, I guess this is how that's the way I got Hitler's brain. I was actually and grab it, you know.
You're in one of my favorite guilty pleasure movies called Race with the Devil.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I loved Warren Oates. Working with Warren was a gas, and we did 3 films. We should have done more. It was a shame to lose him at such an early age.
That makes my list, and I tell people every year to go check it out because it is a blast. Working with this big cast in 310 to Yuma, do you guys just ever look around when you're in the cowboy outfits and the whole deal with the horse and everything, and you say, isn't this the best? I mean, does it just appeal to every fantasy you ever had about playing cowboy?
Well, when I looked at Ben Foster's character, the way he developed it, not only his gunplay routine, he was really good with the guns.
You had to learn all that stuff, I assume, right?
His costume and his whole... I'm taking away your loss, but that's because he's the Harrison Ford of this whole the duet here.
You know, I'm an ugly-ass Harrison Ford.
and he likes to claim that his type is he's this glam rock. You know, he's a rock star out there, and in the way he is, you know, he's the rock star. I'm Charlie Mingus.
That's pretty wild.
I'll take it, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're about to hear from Ben Foster here.
The preps thing, I guess Fonda and I were coming from similar angles, which is it's music, and the Western is so stripped down, it's so bare bones, there's not a lot of dialogue, it's very physical, so finding the musicality to it.
Right.
And the character that I play, I guess, to me, he was a bit of glam rock, mountain cats, and a matador, and you kind of put that in the blender.
Because they were sort of...
In the blender, you have Hitler's brain.
I'm really going to...
Traffic with that, man, that is some gray lingerie. Wow, and I'm into that lingerie.
Yeah,
he's looking at Kathy.
Hey, Peter, is it weird to turn on the TV and see Dennis Hopper doing an Ameritrade ad? Because he's got, you know, classic rock music going on in the background, and here's a guy where you guys defined, a generation with a movie, and now he's kind of capitalizing on that with... a commercial. Is that odd for you to see that happen?
No, not really. And I was watching him work, and he was Dennis, you know, doing this stuff with his hands. The big man, the dick. And that was cool. And he needs the cash.
It all works out.
Yeah, you bet.
Speaking of Easy Rider, there are a couple of films in your career, and more recently with Ghost Rider and Wild Hogs, this motorcycle theme. Do you ride? Is that something that you do for fun on your own?
Oh, you bet. Okay. That's how I force focus. I ride an MV Agusta F4CC. This is an incredible motorcycle. It's 100,000 euro bike. You don't want to drop this sucker.
You've been in a couple of accidents, right? No,
yeah, but California, you're allowed to lane split.
Right.
And so there is no traffic. There is no... I go right to the head of the line at a stoplight, a stop sign. And it's the way to get around town for me.
Anybody ever yell at you? Hey, you! Oh, Peter Fonda, hey!
Well, I have this particular helmet, and unfortunately it was done on the LA Times weekend thing, and then the gal who did the piece also stuck it on her website or her online interview.
So they know you're coming.
It's very, not strange helmet. It's a full-face helmet. And in the back, I have this rather thing that says F Ben Laden, you know. Because that made it, when I stop it, having split the lane between cars, I'll always turn, look way out to my right, like I'm looking at oncoming traffic, so everybody in the car can say, oh my God, look at that. That's that thing, because who has that helmet but me, man?
Were you injured in the accidents?
Which ones?
Have you had a lot?
Enough. Anybody who rides who hasn't had an accident hasn't really been riding.
That's what Gary Busey says.
Yeah. There's a guy who's lobbying for no helmets. That's me.
I think he needs it.
Well, I'm actually thinking about putting my legs around a hog. What are your thoughts on the Vespa?
I thought that was a plea for bestiality.
No, I was like, what is going on?
I was trying to talk cool. Motorcycle cool.
I did Vespas, no sweat.
you would eat up a Vespa.
I'm looking at some of the other films that you've done, Peter, and do you remember Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry?
I love that Steve. Movie. It's a great chunk
movie. I loved doing it. It was a gas to do that, too, and I made a ton of dough with that.
I'll bet.
You know, and getting to play that white trash character, you know, gun-chewing and goofy guy.
Is that a Barracuda you drove in that movie?
No, that's a Dodge
Was that a Charger?
Charger, and okay. The first one was a 66 Chevy Impala.
Yeah.
And they tricked those engines. I got to do a lot of those stunts myself, which scared the hell out of Susan George.
I'll bet.
But Adam Rourke was all into it. And so the three of us actually got to play extraordinarily good characters. And being chased down by Vic Morrow was kind of cool, too.
There was a movie, and I can't remember. I saw it when I was a kid, and I'm almost sure you were in it. So I apologize if this is incorrect. But were you in a film with your dad?
Willy Wonka?
It wasn't Willy Wonka. No, it was about the logging industry. It was about lumberjacks.
That was Michael Sarrazin.
So I'm totally wrong on that?
Yeah, totally. And okay. Although I should have been. Wow. Yeah. You know, they should have used me for that.
Do you remember the name of that movie?
Yeah.
I don't, for the life of me.
Well, it was a Ken Kesey movie.
It's not sometimes a great notion, is it?
That's exactly right.
Okay, there we go.
You pull us all out of the bag.
Thank you. I'll take potent potables for 10 hours.
Quickly, you have a CD box set called Flower Power that you've worked on?
Yeah, Flower Power, the music of the Love Generation, and it's tremendous. I make compilations just to carry around with me, like on this trip when we do these tours. And this is something that was done by Time Life. And you can't get these tunes in any kind of compilation like this. It's a really cool set. 10 CD set. Totally worth it.
See, I would look at you as a definitive source for this kind of music. So I would imagine this is pretty much your one-stop shopping for this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I have to ask about 310 to Yuma and Ben, if you have your shirt off in the movie at any time, because that was pretty prominent in X3. And you're a ripped dude. You're pretty cut up. Do you stay that way, or was that just for that movie?
Well, when you don't have lines and you only have feathers, you do a lot of stuff.
You didn't talk much in the movie. Not at all.
So that was the answer to that, yeah. So I assume no wings in this one.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, he plays the angel of death.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound...
sound like a badass, yeah.
Like, well, he is definitely that.
That's got to be a fun character to play.
Sid Vicious is, you know, gets close to that.
The killer?
Is that who you keyed on?
I just had to throw that in.
No, there was like a lot of Moon Age Daydream going on.
Yeah. Let me ask you, on the set at any point...
I'm an alligator. Yeah, man.
Would you eat anything that Peter handed to you without having it checked first?
Flower power, man.
So much. Well, the film is opening, as you said, September 7th, I believe, right?
Right.
It looks damn good. They have an extended trailer. We can put the link up. It's pretty badass.
Yep, we will put that up. And Christian Bale and Russell Crowe also in the film. It is called 310 to Yuma, but look for Peter Fonda and Ben Foster in it. Thank you guys for coming by. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks so much for doing it. All right. And I believe they're headed over to the 10 show if you want to get a look at these guys. They'll be on in just a little bit. We've got to take a break, and we will come back in mere moments. We still have the lesson question, the trip to Vegas. We'll get you closer to winning that and more. So stay right there, friends.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.